Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Future bright for oil and gas prices. Inflationary worries, high oil field production costs temper optimism, by Bob Campbell. Oil and gas prices are very high, driving up the cost of gasoline and contributing to burgeoning inflation, but they're also supporting increased hiring in the oil field and spurring drillers to drill, pipeliners to pump, and refineries to keep churning out their panorama of products. With oil at $105.75 per barrel and natural gas at $7.244 per thousand cubic feet on Monday, Waco economist Ray Perriman, State Representative Brooks Landgraf, and spokesman for the Texas Alliance of Energy Producers and the Austin-based Enverus Intelligence Research say prices will stay elevated for a long time, agreeing with an April 19th analysis by the World Bank in Washington, D.C., that Russia's invasion of Ukraine will alter energy trade flows, consumption, and production for years. In the biggest energy shock since the 1970s, elevated commodity prices are worsening inflationary pressures, the bank said. Referring to European prices, which roughly parallel West Texas intermediate crude levels, it said, the price of Brent crude will average $100 this year for the highest annual level since 2013, and it will moderate to $92 in 2023. Natural gas prices will be twice as high in 2022 as they were in 2021, and coal will be 80% higher, both all-time highs. High metal prices are driving up the cost of renewable energy, which depends on aluminum and battery-grade nickel. Perriman said geopolitics and other factors can cause rapid swings in either direction on a temporary basis, but I believe long-term average prices will be higher. Even the U.S. Department of Energy forecasts recognize that the global demand for oil and gas will continue to increase under a wide variety of circumstances, even as we move toward a more climate-sensitive energy framework, said Perriman, who lives in Odessa. At the same time, the recent actions taken by Russia are likely to materially affect the trade flows, transport costs, and other factors. Producing oil with lower emissions, where the Permian Basin has a decided advantage, will be more expensive, and added costs due to governmental policies seem probable. Logistics challenges posed by the Russian situation will likely persist, and investors are seeking substantial returns to fund major drilling programs in a more uncertain environment. All these factors portend higher overall prices. This may be partially offset by further improvements in drilling and production technology, but there are more factors driving long-term prices up than down. Landgraf expressed some uncertainty about the World Bank's predictions, but he was optimistic about the Permian Basin's future. My crystal ball isn't always crystal clear when it comes to predicting commodity prices, the Odessa Republican said. I can't say whether or not the World Bank's projections will come true, but I am certain that when it comes to global demand for energy, the world should look to the basin for its supply of oil and natural gas, Landgraf said. We have an abundance of crude oil and other hydrocarbons without any of the geopolitical strings attached. Equally important, we have the people here in the West Texas oil patch with a know-how, ingenuity, and safety record to better meet the demand than any other region on Earth. It is likely that instability in other parts of the world will lead to higher than expected energy prices, but I'm confident that the stability of Texas and the production in the Permian Basin could be the best available antidote. Texas Alliance of Energy Producers President Jason Modglin said from Austin that many countries' withdrawal from doing business with Russia is making it harder to move products around the world, but it will make the United States, and particularly Texas, far more important in meeting the needs of Europe and Asia. We hope the Biden administration will think longer term about the needs for oil and gas beyond a 2-year or 4-year cycle, Modlin said. That demand is not going away. We need production from nations with high environmental and labor standards, and that is the U.S., not the rest of the world. He added that high oil and gas prices are not a windfall for the energy industry because production costs are increasing just as rapidly for sand, steel, labor, and trucking. We need continued investment to maintain production, because we have seen a lot of investors like the large banks start either to prohibit oil and gas investments or do away with them in favor of alternative technologies, Modlin said. And Verus Intelligence Research Senior Vice President Al Salazar said the possible elimination of Russia's 17% of the world's natural gas supply makes it fairly easy to suggest that natural gas prices will stay high for years. Moreover, seemingly indefinite and mounting energy sanctions against Russia make such a statement more likely than not, Salazar said. However, commodity prices, including natural gas, are highly cyclical. History shows that if prices stay high for a long enough period, both supply and demand efficiencies come into play. The U.S. shale revolution is a prime example of this. He said key signposts for the future will be the discipline exercised or not exercised by American energy producers. The further globalization of liquefied natural gas and renewable generation growth, with the balance that develops between energy security and the non-financial factors of environmental, social, and governance considerations. Currently, our view is that U.S. natural gas prices appear increasingly influenced by international LNG markets, Salazar said. International prices for natural gas trade at multiples of what U.S. natural gas prices clear at should support the Henry Hub until infrastructure constraints become an issue. Based in Erath, Louisiana, the Henry Hub is a natural gas pipeline that is the official delivery point for futures contracts on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Owned by the Sabine Pipeline Company, it connects to 4 intrastate and 9 interstate pipelines. Quick hits. Jewelry and accessories sale. Odessa Regional Medical Center has scheduled a masquerade jewelry and accessories sale from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. today and from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Friday in the ORMC East Auditorium. Proceeds benefit Pulse Committee Employee Assistance Program. Coffee with Pfluger. U.S. Representative August Pfluger has scheduled coffee with Congressman Pfluger at 8 a.m. today at Doughboys Cafe, 1621 West 10th. Cinco de Mayo events. The Hispanic Heritage of Odessa has scheduled Cinco de Mayo events Thursday at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center, 305 East 5th Street. The Cinco de Mayo Unity Luncheon and Hispanic Heritage Media Awards presentation will take place at 11:30 a.m., and Mariachi Serenata Folklorico and Selena Lookalike Passarella at 4:30 p.m. Registration required at 432-894-8128. Mental Health Awareness. Centers for Children and Families Laura W. Bush Institute for Women's Health will present a mental health awareness series, Stop Minding Your Own Business, from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. today at the Odessa Marriott Hotel. Terry Bentley Hill, a nationally recognized mental health advocate and criminal defense attorney in Dallas, will speak. Mother-Daughter Banquet, First Baptist Church, 709 North Lee Avenue, has scheduled the 32nd Mother-Daughter Banquet at 6:30 p.m. today in the Fellowship. Guest speaker will be Carla McDougall from the Woodlands. Tickets are $15. Five Prayers for Our City. As part of National Day of Prayer, Five Prayers for Our City is 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. today at the MCM Grande Hotel and Fun Dome, 6201 East Business I-20. The event is free. Registration is required. Los Chicos del 512. The Ector County Theater, 500 North Texas Avenue, will present Los Chicos del 512, The Selena Experience, from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. today. For tickets or more information, visit theector.com. Graduations set. The University of Texas Permian Basin has set commencement for 11 a.m. Saturday at the Horseshoe Pavilion in Midland. There will be 607 graduates walking the stage. Odessa College graduation will be May 13th and 14th at 6 p.m. and 10 a.m. respectively at the Ector County Coliseum. May 13th will be for BAAS degrees, School of Business and Industry Associate degrees and Certificate degrees, and GED degrees. May 14th will be for graduates of the School of Liberal Arts and Education and the School of Health Sciences. City of Odessa announces Rainbow Tower Maintenance. The city's utilities division has contracted maintenance work on the Rainbow Water Tower. The water tower is offline while the work is ongoing. The maintenance work is expected to be complete by Friday. While the maintenance work occurs, the Yukon pump station will provide the system pressure. Customers affected by this may experience water pressure that is lower than normal, along with some fluctuations. The system should return to normal operations by Monday. Family Resiliency Center offering help and support to local heroes. On August 31, 2019, the communities of Odessa and Midland were forever changed when seven people were killed and 25 others were injured in the worst mass shooting in the area's history. In partnership with the Bill Blackwood Law Enforcement Management Institute of Texas, the Family Resiliency Center of the Permian Basin is hosting the second Permian Basin Post-Critical Incident Seminar. This private event will be held at Stonegate Fellowship in Odessa. This event is being offered to support law enforcement, fire rescue personnel, telecommunicators, and their spouses in the Midland-Odessa area who have experienced highly traumatic events, including the August 2019 mass shooting, line-of-duty deaths, officer-involved shootings, and more, in a safe environment. This is being offered at no cost to those who attend. The event will be held through May 7th. Registration is now closed. More information and registration for future events can be found at www.facebook.com/FRC of the PB. Special thanks to our sponsors, Red Diamond Sponsor, Advanced Stimulation Technologies, Inc., Purple Diamond Sponsors, Discover Odessa and Market Street, Yellow Diamond Sponsor, United Supermarket. For more information on ways to be involved or to donate for the event, please contact the FRC at 432-848-6944. Serbian Surprised After Odessa's Got Talent Win by Michael Bauer. For years, Grace Sermian had sung in different competitions but never won any of them. However, that streak ended last Friday when the Filipino was named the winner in the adult division of Odessa's Got Talent. The win caught her off guard. I've been competing in singing contests way back since I lived in the Philippines, and I never won, Sarmean said. That was the first time I ever won a solo competition. I was always second or third, so the reason why it was special for me was because this is the first time I competed outside the country. I wanted to showcase the talent that I have and represent my country. Sarmean, 36, was born in Laguna, which is southeast of Manila in the Philippines. She, along with her husband Luis Sarmean and 3-year-old son Quian Sarmean, all moved to Odessa in June 2019 to be closer to her mother, Faith Bernade. Her mother is a longtime Odessan. My mom has been here for 25 years, Sarmean said. The reason we came here is because she's alone and she wants to be with her only grandchild, so we decided to migrate here. Sarmean has been singing ever since she was 10. In last week's Odessa's Got Talent, it was her first time competing in the show, which is a fundraiser for the Permian Basin Mission Center. It took all weekend for her to fully comprehend her win, as she competed against 10 other performers in her division, including a few bands, one of which was Los Crazy Guys, which won the adult division last year and finished third this year. However, Sarmean's solo performance of Never Enough, from the musical The Greatest Showman, was enough to not only impress the judges, but also bring the audience members to their feet, as she received a standing ovation. I couldn't believe it, Sarmean said. Up until now, I couldn't believe that I won, because all of the performers were really good, and I was expecting someone else to win. I was really surprised. The Greatest Showman came out in late 2017 and starred Hugh Jackman, Zac Efron, Zendaya, Rebecca Ferguson, and Michelle Williams. In the movie, the vocals to Never Enough were done by Lauren Allred. Sarmean has been singing Never Enough since the movie's release, but also said that she originally was planning to sing a lower version of it, as she was unsure if she could actually sing the high notes. I didn't realize that I could reach the highest note because I was planning to sing the lower key version, but I challenged myself, so I practiced for a month after I applied for the competition, Sarmean said. The moment that I applied, I started practicing every day. It was a challenge that ended up paying off. She also chose Never Enough because it's not a song that's particularly long. It's less than 3 minutes and has fewer lyrics, Sarmean said. Lastly, it has a good ending. Sarmean also sings in her church's band at Grace Christian Fellowship and can also play the guitar and piano. As far as what competitions she'll compete at in the future, Sarmean says she's not sure, but said her husband has been trying to convince her to try and compete on The Voice. American Idol, there's an age limit, but in The Voice there isn't, Sarmean said. I don't know, I'll be thinking about it. In the meantime, Sarmean will be getting ready to teach this upcoming school year, as she recently passed the exam to earn her teaching certificate at UTPB. She hopes to teach either third or fourth grade somewhere at ECISD. It's been my passion, Sarmean said, of teaching. When I was in elementary, I was the president of the class, and I took over the class. That's when I decided I wanted to be a teacher. When I got here, there was an opportunity that ECISD was sponsoring a working visa for teachers, so that's why I took the opportunity. And it's a good thing because it's my passion. I'm pursuing what I really want to do. She took online classes at night as she worked to become a teacher, usually working from 10 a.m. to about 3 a.m. I was able to manage my time, Sarmean said. The moment my husband and son are asleep, I have my online class because it's really quiet, so it's the perfect time for me to study. She and her family have enjoyed being in West Texas. I love Odessa, Sarmean said. It's quiet and peaceful. The people are very nice.
Odessa American Opinion Page, Thursday, May 5th, 2022. Letter to the Editor. Now is the time to reinvest in our schools. In 1966, the Odessa Industrial Development Corporation was established as a nonprofit economic development corporation to assist existing businesses with expansion and attract new compatible industry to Odessa. In 2009, we changed our name to Grow Odessa. Our mission is simple. Grow Odessa is a nonprofit organization dedicated to Odessa's economic development growth. Throughout our history, Grow Odessa has partnered with numerous organizations to improve the quality of place here in Odessa. Quality of place means different things to different people. Do you have nice parks, outdoor activities, shopping opportunities, and lots of things for families to do? Usually, one of the top items on anyone's list is the quality of education in that community. When a company or organization is considering expanding into Odessa and plan to relocate any number of individuals from somewhere else, they want to make sure it's a community these transfers will be happy with. It is also important that the local school district is supplying local employers with their future workforce needs. When you drive around Odessa and Ector County to see our schools in their condition due to age, a newcomer might question our priorities as a community. If you lived here your entire life and no longer have children in school, the condition of our schools may not concern you. However, if you're a young family whose children are about to enter school, the condition of our schools should be very concerning. If you need further proof, go to Odessa High or Permian High during class changes and see what our kids are dealing with every day. The last time Ector County supported a bond issue was in 2012. Proceeds from that bond issue built two elementary schools in West Odessa and one in Northeast Odessa. Successful communities reinvest in themselves when it is needed. In order to maintain the upward trajectory our school district is currently on, it is time to reinvest in ourselves now. Our school facilities are aging, and our high schools are handling far more kids than they were intended to. We need a comprehensive career and technical education high school, CTE. Classroom technology needs to be updated, and numerous maintenance and life cycle repairs need to be made to existing buildings. These are not wants. They are immediate needs that cannot be kicked down the road for someone else to deal with. It is for all these reasons and many more that we don't have room to list that the Board of Directors of Grow Odessa strongly endorses and supports passage of ECISD Proposition A and Proposition B. Sincerely, Eddie Shelton, Chair, Grow Odessa Board of Directors.
Death notices from the Odessa American for Thursday. Carlos Artalejo, 74, of Odessa, died Saturday, April 30th, in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 1 p.m. May 10th at St. Mary's Catholic Church. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Tommy J. Gatlin, 80, died Monday, May 2nd in Midland. Services are pending with American Heritage of Midland. Is Tamsu Lawson cause for bowel changes? To your good health for Thursday. Dear Dr. Roach, I am 76 and constipation has never been a concern until now. I have long suffered from benign prostatic hyperplasia, and multiple nightly urinations are the norm. I was recently prescribed Tamsu Lawson. Could this be the cause for my bowel changes? Dr. Roach writes, when a symptom begins after a new medicine, it is always wise to consider whether it's a side effect of the medicine. It certainly could be for you. But constipation is not a common side effect. 6% of men get diarrhea, and there are only occasional reports of constipation. Constipation is more common as we get older. 16% of 65-year-old men have constipation, raising to 26% of men in their 80s. The rate for women is about 10% higher. I would also take a look at your diet for any changes, as well as making sure you have adequate but not excessive water intake. Finally, low thyroid levels are common in older folks, and it is worth a quick blood test if the problem persists.
Dear Abby, for Thursday, May 5th. Mom wonders how to reveal youngest son's parentage. Dear Abby, I have a wonderful 12-year-old son, Oliver, who was conceived during a date rape at a work party. I don't remember much about that night. When I found out I was pregnant, I hoped my husband at the time was the father. When the baby came, it was obvious he wasn't, because Oliver is a different race. I am Caucasian, and I'm thinking Oliver may be Pacific Islander. We divorced when Oliver was 2, and my ex had a DNA test, which of course proved he was not the father. Despite the findings, after I explained what happened, he offered to be Oliver's dad because he had bonded with him, provided he would not have to pay child support. I agreed. I have 2 other older sons whom he fathered. There have been times when Oliver and his brothers have asked about his brown skin, and I have been able to dodge the question. He's getting to an age where I don't think I can hold off much longer. I always knew the time would come when he would have to know his dad was not his biological father, but I'm not sure what to tell him. I don't think I want him to know he is a product of rape, nor do I want to throw myself under the bus and say I cheated on his dad. That would open up questions about who his bio dad is. Please help. Looking for the best way in Washington. Dear Looking, I fail to understand why you would equate rape with cheating. What happened wasn't your fault, and you should feel neither guilt nor shame that it happened. While I understand your desire to protect Oliver, you should tell him the truth. When you do, be sure to emphasize how much you and your ex love him and how proud you are that he is your son. Dear Abby, I'm in the process of building my first house down the street from my parents. The lot was a good deal. Recently, my mom told me she wants a key so she and dad can have access to my house in case of severe weather. We live in tornado country. The layout and foundation of my house are sturdier than theirs. When I told her I didn't want anyone to have a key, she got really offended. It made me feel awful. But Abby, this is my first house, and if I have to give a key to someone when I don't want to, it defeats the purpose of having my own place. I have been living with my parents to save up, and Mom has used guilt trips against me before. My sister and brother-in-law agree I shouldn't give in to her. I feel like a horrible daughter for refusing because she's not the type to snoop. But there have been instances when I've been in my room and she has entered without knocking. Should I stick to my guns or am I wrong? Daughter in dilemma. Dear daughter, it strikes me as somewhat pushy that your mother would ask for a key to your home before it is even completed. What have your parents done during previous tornadoes? Because the house symbolizes your independence, I don't think you should hand the key over. It may make sense to have someone you trust be able to enter if you are traveling or have a pet that needs to be walked while you are working. In that event, you may change your mind and see the wisdom in offering her one. P.S. If she abuses your trust, you can always have your locks changed.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.